Welcome to Moedon Ivri, Club Hebrew. Starting out, that's modern Hebrew, I think. No, it is, yeah. Welcome, everybody. We're kind of starting a new quarter. I want to thank Will again for getting us through the first part. We're actually on 2 Samuel 15, so we're just going to continue from 2 Samuel 15. And Will, did you get through the first seven or the first six verses?
Seven.
Okay, got through the first seven. And if you will, just remember, Absalom is kind of planning this coup against David. So this is a real important part of the history that we get to read. So we're going to start at verse 8, all right? And it's kind of, 8's connected with verse 7, if you will remember, that at the end of the Masoretic text says 40 years, Absalom said to the king, he's going to repay a vow, which he vowed to the Lord when he was in, he wants to repay it in Hebron, okay? And now verse 8 gives his reason. So I'm going to start there and read and then just translate. Ki neder nadar avdeka be-shivti be-geshur ba-aram limor im yashov yeshiveni Adonai Yerushalayim ve-avadti et Adonai. Okay. Here's the causal clause. For a vow your servant has vowed. All right. In his dwelling in Geshur. Notice that be-shivti is from the root yashav, and it's just a simple call infinitive construct. First yud verbs take that t at the back. It looks a lot like a segalit noun. So without the suffix, it would be shevet for yashav, yashav shevet. And the bait kind of clues you in. Right away, we're probably dealing with a temporal construction in English, best constructed. Your servant vowed a vow while I was dwelling in Geshur. So again, notice Hebrew has no problems changing from third person, your servant, to first person. You'll see these kinds of switches. All right. While I was dwelling in Geshur of Aram. All right. Remember, that's when he was exiled. Saying, Im Yashov Yeshiveni. Okay, here's kind of a problem. Look at the finite verb first, that yeshiveni. Everybody see the root of it? Yeshiveni is from the root shuv. All right, it's a hollow verb, and it's a hifil. That's why you have that infixed yud. All right, and it's a third masculine singular imperfect. Yashiv, plus the suffix. He will return me, and the subject is Yahweh. All right, now notice the word before it. All right, it has weird punctuation and everything scrambled about it. All right, as it is in the Masoretic text, the consonants, it's yud, shin, yud, bet. Everybody see that? So the consonantal text would also be a hifil imperfect from shuv, which would make no sense. See, if he returns me. See, you have the same verb twice. The Masoretes look like they want. So notice the Masoretes have a holem above the yud. That's telling you to read that whole thing as a holem instead of a yud, which would be yashov, which would be an infinitive absolute from yashav, which means to dwell, which also wouldn't make sense. All right. So there's some kind of a textual problem here. What you would probably want is an infinitive absolute hifil, heshev, yeshiveni. So, if indeed Yahweh returns me, and that's how most translations go, all right? So you have an issue there. Some suggest maybe a call infinitive absolute shov. That would be if it was call, shov, like kum. The infinitive absolute is kom. So from shuv would be shov. But again, with the hifil following it, that's difficult as well. All right. So if we just translate it, as it makes most sense. Here's his vow. If Yahweh indeed returns me, Yerushalayim, to Jerusalem, then avati Adonai, then I will serve Yahweh. All right. So that's the vow he made. And so he needs to, in other words, by serve Yahweh, he needs to go to Jerusalem to the tabernacle there, to the sanctuary, so that he can repay his vow. Okay, that's what's going on. Any questions about any of the grammar or anything? If I read it again, let me just read the whole sentence. For your servant has vowed a vow while I was living in Geshur, in Aram, saying, if Yahweh indeed returns me to Jerusalem, then I will serve or worship Yahweh. We might want to say, then I will worship Yahweh. Okay? And by worship, he doesn't mean in general. He means kind of in this very specific way, I think, so that he needs this pretense to go to Hebron. Okay, any questions? All right, good. Verse 9, it gets a little better here. Vayomer lo hamelech lek b'shalom, vayakom vayelech chevrona. Then to him the king said, okay, notice the word order again, short preposition following the verb. Then the king said to him, lake, call imperative from halak, behaves like a first yud verb. So you get this lake, go b'shalom, in peace. Okay, so he got up, vayakom, notice from kum, a call, imperfect vav consecutive. So he got up, and he went, chevrona, to Hebron. And notice the locative hey at the end, the directional hey. All right, pretty simple. So he's in Hebron now. Any questions? All right, here it goes. We get bad from here. Va yishlak avshalom merag lim bekol shivte Yisrael lemor ke shom akemet kol hashofar va martem malak avshalom bechevron. Then Absalom sent merag lim. Okay, look at this word. You can break it down even if you don't have never seen it before. Notice there's a root, resh gimel lamed. You know there's a very common word rega, which means feet. All right, and notice you have a mem in front of it, so this is a PL participle, and it's translated in Exodus as spies. Remember that when they sent spies into the land, meraglim. So here you would probably translate the same way, spies, or maybe a better word would be agents. Okay, so secret agents. So Absalom sent secret agents among all the tribes of Israel, all right, saying, Kesham Kem, as soon as you hear, everybody see this is from, this is an infinitive construct from Shama, to hear. The cough in front of it tells you, okay, it's a non-finite verb, infinitive, with the second masculine plural ending. So again, temporal. As soon as you hear, notice it takes a direct object, et kol, the sound of the shofar. Okay, so remember, evidently he'd been winning over Israel for a long time through this method of meeting people at the gate. He was a great politician, evidently, maybe very pastoral. So now he sent his people. As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then amartem, then say, okay, Malak Avshalom Bechevron. Absalom reigns in Hebron. Okay, so evidently they had it planned. I guess he must have sent out people with the trumpets all over the place too. I'm trying to imagine what that's like. So he must have had people kind of throughout the tribes of Israel. And notice it's Israel that his thrust is at. And I think by Israel he means mainly the northern tribes. All right. Because David still has kind of a stronghold in the south in Jerusalem. So he sends out his men and they have the signal, Absalom reigns for this coup. Okay? Questions through 10? All right. Notice the word order here in verse 11. Ved Avshalom halku matayim ish mirushalayim keruim veholakim latumam. Velo yadu kol davar. Okay, so now notice you have something fronting the verb. All right, notice then that the vav consecutive string in the narrative is broken up. Now a lot of times, and I think here is the case, it signals that that rather than there's a succession, another step in the time or in the narrative, sometimes it signals that there's a parenthesis or an aside that he's giving you some information here. Okay? And I would translate, now with Solomon, halku, to go, right? And here's the subject, matayim ish, 200 men. Okay, notice that that's a dual form. Me'a means 100, me'ot means hundreds, plural, me'taim means 200. Notice that when you get up into these hundreds, the big numbers, the noun that it modifies is commonly in the singular. That's the kind of idiom, especially when you use very common like ish and sons, banim or bane. It's always singular. So, with Absalom, 200 men had come, halku, from Jerusalem. Okay, now notice then now, so 200 men had come with Absalom from Jerusalem to do this supposed worship of Yahweh in Hebron. Okay, now notice what it says about them though. Keruim, everybody see the verb form there? It's not that common. What is it? Anyone see it? Call passive participle from kara. Notice the kibbutz after the resh gives it away. Keruim. So it means invited. So I would translate it. 200 men had come with Absalom from Jerusalem who had been invited. Okay? Veholakim, and here's a call active participle. So notice you get the passive and then the active. And they went le to mom. The word tome is from the root tamam, which means to be perfect, okay, to have integrity. Tome is completeness or integrity. Notice the lamed in front of it. You stick a lamed very often in front of a substantive, you get an adverb. And then you have a suffix am at the end. So it's their integrity. So it would really kind of very woodenly, and they went in their integrity. Okay, or with integrity, with their integrity. And more clearly in English, they went innocently. Okay, and now notice the next phrase is very often in Hebrew kind of explains what that means, letumam. That is, they did not know Kaldavar. They did not know anything. So they didn't really know what was going on. They thought what Absalom said was true. They were going to Hebron to worship the Lord, to fulfill the vow that he had vowed. And maybe that was custom to take a lot of people with you for the celebration or something like that. So notice 200 men from Jerusalem were invited to go with them. Okay, and so as a reader now, you don't even know why does the guy include this detail? Why does the writer include? Well, maybe it's going to be important later in the story for what's happening. So you kind of get this aside right in the narrative. All right. Good. Any questions through 11? Okay, pretty simple so far, right? Okay, verse 12. Vayishlak Avshalom et Achitophel ha-Giloni Yoetz David me'iro mi'gilo bezovcho et hazevachim vayehi ha-Kesher amitz ve'ha'am holeg varav et Avshalom. Okay. Verse 12 then. So, and Absalom sent, okay, notice that that's sent, and notice then the Hebrew is very terse here. If you look at the Qumran reading, I think I wrote this down, Qumran actually adds sent vayikra, sent and called Achitophel, all right? So they actually add the Qumran manuscript on Samuel adds the verb because it's very terse here. You have, and Absalom sent Ahithophel, okay? But when you find out what it means, it means he actually sent someone to get him, to bring him to Absalom. And that's why you'll see that reflected more clearly in the Qumran. But a lot of times Hebrew is very terse with that and doesn't include, you know, there's kind of an ellipsis of a verb here. Now, Ahithophel is the Gilonite. That's his country. Yoetz is counselor, call participle from Ya'atz, counselor of David. So notice Ahithophel was David's trusted counselor and a traitor. Okay, that's what's going to happen here. Okay, so Notice Absalom will just say, sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, counselor of David, Meiro, from his city, from Gilo. That's the name of his city. Okay? In his sacrifice, or while he was sacrificing, Beth Zavcho is again, call, infinitive construct from Zavach to sacrifice. While he was sacrificing, or when he was sacrificing, Et HaZevachim, the sacrifices. Okay? So he was there, he was sacrificing, he called Ahithophel. Okay? Now the last thing. Vayhi HaKesher. Kesher means conspiracy. The Kesher. Now, the conspiracy was amitz, means strong. It's an adjective. Usually you have the infixed yud. Here it's written in defective language. And again, in Samuel, you get that unevenness. In a lot of manuscripts, you do. So the conspiracy was strong. Okay, now notice this next idiom. You see this every once in a while. I'm going to translate it very woodenly. The people were going. And this is the substantive or adjective, great, many, numerous, varav. So it's literally, the people were going and great with Absalom. Okay, but when you see a construction with holek, usually it's an infinitive absolute, halok, in a construction like this. Here you have the participle, and it indicates continuous action. We've seen this before in Samuel. You'll have, he was like the cows were going and mooing. So you translate, the cows were walking along, mooing as they walked. So here you have this continued action. See, the people, and so the main kind of action is the varav. So the people kept increasing with Absalom. So the people with Absalom continuously increased. That's what that holeg varav means. So does everybody see that? It's very awkward, from an English speaker standpoint, but it's not that uncommon of an idiom to use halok. Again, it's usually the infinitive absolute to indicate a continuous action. So the action is the continuousness is that rav, the getting greater. All right. So the people kept increasing with Absalom. So in other words, the conspiracy was having its success. So, you know, you imagine what his agents must have been talking about, trying to kind of get the people over to his side. All right? There's a lot we don't know what's happening, obviously. The narrator's just given us the barest account here. All right? Any questions through 12? Everybody understand the grammar there? All right. Verse 13. Vayavo hamagid el David lemor, haya lev ish Yisrael acharei Avshalom. Okay, hamagid. Everybody see the root? What's the root of hamagid? Nagad. And what does that mean? To tell. So you have a mem here. You can see that it's a hifil participle. Magid. And then the definite article. The teller. So we would probably say a certain messenger came. Vayavo. From Bo. Okay. A certain messenger came. Or just this messenger came to David saying, haya lev ish. Lev Ish is heart of the people of Israel. Okay, the heart of the of the men of Israel, Haya, is Acharei, after Absalom. Not good news. Okay, so David's lost the election. So this messenger came to David saying, the heart of the men of Israel. Notice Ish is used as a collective here. The heart of the men of Israel is after Absalom. Okay, questions through 13? Okay, very good. 14. Vayomer David lekol avadav asher to birushalayim. Kumu ve nivracha. Ki lo tihilanu peleta mipne Avshalom. Maharu laleket pen yemaher ve hisaganu ve hidiach alenu et hara'a. Vehika ha'ir lefi charef. Okay. Then David said to all his servants who were with him in Jerusalem, okay, kumu ve nivracha, get up. Notice that this is a simple call imperative, plural, masculine plural. Get up and Nivracha. Notice that this is a cohortative from Barach. First common plural. Notice the nun at the beginning and the hey at the end are the giveaway. Barach means to flee. So get up and let's flee. Or, you know, I kind of like to translate that kum as this interjection, kind of like us. Come on and let's flee. Or maybe, come on, let's get out of here. Okay, that's kind of the thrust of it, of that kum. And kum a lot of times is used as an exclamatory particle like that. You'll see it. Okay, so it's not as if they're all lying around. Get up. It's more, come on, let's get out of here. All right, we use it in English like that too. Okay, four, not will there be to us a peleta. There will not be a survivor. Palat, remember, means to deliver. Okay, I'm sorry, so there will not be a deliverer. Peleta. Mipne, from the face of or from Avshalom. From Absalom. Okay. Now, Maharu is a PL imperative from Mahar. It means to hasten. So another imperative. Hasten to go. Laleket. Hasten to leave. Lest, Yemaher, lest he hasten. Okay? Lest he hasten. Ve-hi-siganu. This is a hifil form from nasag. How do you know there's an infixed, an assimilated nun here? What do you see that tells you that this is a first nun root? Dagish preceded by a short vowel. Whenever you see a dagish preceded by a short vowel, you can bet there's an assimilated letter. Most likely a nun. So the root is nasag, and it means to reach or to overtake. All right. So lest he hasten and lest he overtake us. See that hissa ganu, lest he overtake us. Ve hidi, hidicha. Okay, again, notice the dagesh preceded by a short vowel tells you the root is nadach. Again, it's a hifil perfect. So, lest he hasten, and he overtake us, and he put aleinu, it means to thrust or impel upon us, et hara'a, the disaster. And I guess you guys all know what the disaster would be. All right? So, he already kind of knows if you're going to rule the kingdom, you got to take Jerusalem. So, he figures Absalom's going to come back with his men and take over the city. See? So, let's get out of here, lest he take overcome us and put upon us hara'a, and he strike the city with the mouth of the sword. Hikaz from, again, notice another first nun verb, dagish preceded by a short vowel, hifil from nakat to smite. Okay? All right, so they were worried. So notice at this point, the fall of Jerusalem seemed very imminent. All right, good. And maybe the 200 men he took were some of David's 200 closest people. I don't know. I mean, again, you don't know. The city was kind of maybe left for some reason. And you don't know what's happening because, you know, what happens to the David lost so much support, see? It's interesting. Questions through 14? All right, verse 15. Vayomru avdei hamelek el hamelek. Kekol asher yivchar Adoni hamelek hine avadeka. Then the servants of the king said to the king, according to all which my lord the king yivchar chooses, okay, hine, look, avadeka, we are your servants. Look, your servants. And we'd probably say, look, we are your servants. We're with you. Okay? Verse 16, Vayetze Hamelech v'kol beto beraglav. Vayazov Hamelech, this is kind of funny, et eser nashim pilag shim lishmor habayit. Then the king went out and all his house at his feet. So we would say that beraglav followed him. Okay? And the king left 10 women. Esher, notice eser nashim, 10 women. Pilag Shim, concubines, Lishmor, to guard the house. That's why I think it's funny. He left, except for 10 women to guard the house. Okay, I'll stop here, and we will take up the conspiracy next week. All right, see what happens exactly. Thanks a lot, very much.